An elementary school where 98% of the students live in the poverty range and 70% are English language learners. You can already appreciate the challenges. But this school, Harmon Johnson Elementary in North Sacramento, will be receiving a national award for excellence next month. Its growth and attendance rates are among the best in the country. So something's working at this school. And in our continuing series on alternative education, we're focusing on the program there. In our studio now, the principal at Harmon Johnson Elementary, David Navarez. Hello, Principal Navarez.
Good morning.
Also, Terry Press Dawson, who is the Healthy Start Grant Coordinator for the program at the school. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Beth.
Welcome to Insight. David, would you start? There are actually two parts to this picture, the type of school that Harmon Johnson is and the way the families are taking to it and behaving with it. So let's start with the school, and it's called a community school.
Yes, and you've described the demographics of the school, which with a high poverty school like the one we have, there is a lot of challenges that confront students and their families, and the teachers need to address these as well as the academic focus that that we are dealing with on a daily basis. In a high poverty school, we need to support the parents, the community's health and social needs as well as the academic. And this means educating the parents, providing them opportunities for growth, for education, to get their GED or learn English, as well as providing experiences for our students that beyond the classroom so that we build on their funds of knowledge so that they can grow and progress and start to dream big dreams.
So what's the comparison with a typical elementary school in a neighborhood? How's this one different?
Well, typically the focus in an elementary school is instruction, is academics. Lucky to have a counselor or to have any kind of support staff, a nurse maybe one day a week. But through the Healthy Start grant that both Terry and I worked on 7 years ago, we were able to bring in more resources to support the families and help to empower them.
Terry, we're giving statistics, but I'm relying on you to give me the picture of the real people here and examples of what the kids and the families need day to day.
Well, as you talk about being 98% below the poverty line, a lot of people would think that means that the families are on welfare, when actually most of the families have parents who are working not just one but two jobs to try to make ends meet for their children, and parents who are very involved in their children's education and doing everything they can to help their kids to get ahead. So they are really in support of the school and have more and more become leaders in the school.
So they're minimum wage or low wage workers who are relying on the school to meet some of their other needs, more amped up than a usual school would be. What would some of the requests be? Or do they even speak up about requests?
Well, we think it's essential for parents to speak up about requests. In fact, in any good community school, you find out what the needs are, and the needs come from your population. First thing that we did when we got the grant was to do an in-depth needs assessment. And every program that we have is based on what the parents and community says are the most important needs. And what they addressed, what they said were most important were physical health for the children, mental health for the children and the families, and education for the adults so that they could move forward.
I'm looking at some of the partners that worked with you, Principal Navarez, Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, so basic needs, food, clothing, some basic education, Vulcan Materials, University of Pacific. There was a real range here of the ways you reached out.
Yes, part of the goal was to establish a collaborative of community members, business partners, as well as members of the health community to help support us. So in that needs assessment, we invited them in. We had focus group meetings. And not surprisingly, I've had other Healthy Start grants at other schools. Dental health was a big issue with our families, as was mental health. There's instances of substance abuse, of need for parenting classes. So a lot of those things came from the parents. They let us know what they needed, and then we set about finding the resources to bring into the school to support them.
I feel like I should say right here, this is not a private school. This is a public school in the Twin Rivers Unified School District, and it's open maybe longer hours, Terry? It's open differently than a usual school?
Sure. In a community school, it's part of the community, which means not only are the school hours longer, and we have about 80 students who are in an after-school program, so that they have not only breakfast and lunch, but they also have supper at the school. We also have an enrichment program with about a third of Johnson students qualifying for GATE, and so many of those students have taken an array of wonderful enrichment classes that you would not usually see at a school. And there are activities where community comes in and utilizes the school as well.
You're listening to Terry Press Dawson. He was a grant coordinator for a program, a community schools program at Harmon Johnson Elementary in North Sacramento. I'm also speaking with the principal of the school, David Navarez, and they are traveling to Washington, D.C. in early June to accept a national 2013 Community Schools Award for Excellence. This has to do with attendance and growth, and it's really a sign, David, of how the community has grabbed onto this. Can you expand on that picture?
Yes. It has really been an honor. This week, we actually received a letter from President Obama congratulating our students for their hard work. And
the highest, I'm looking, three-year growth on California's academic performance.
In Twin Rivers' academic performance. Mm-hmm. I have to qualify that. But we also have received an award from the president pro tem of the Senate, Daryl Steinberg, and he came to the school and addressed the students, and so they feel very important these days. The only three schools in the nation receive this award, so we're very proud of the work that our team has done.
Terry, I know you and I have known each other a long time, and you've worked with a lot of schools, and you've seen a lot of parent groups. Parent volunteerism at this school up 500% in the past 7 years. What light bulb went off for these families that made them come and trust what was there?
I think the most important part was that parents understood that they were listened to, that they were an integral part of their children's development. You know, they're the first teachers for their children. And when they found that the staff was really paying attention and that they were valued as a component to the mm-hmm. children's success, more and more they became involved. Not only involved, but they became leaders both within the school and within the school district. And they continue to lead the way. It's very much a shared partnership.
I see that they've been very involved as activists. Apparently, the school was scheduled to be closed down at one point, and they prompted the district to add an additional almost $1.5 million, David?
Yes. We were in close proximity to a PG&E gas storage facility at the same time that the district was looking at closing two schools in our area. So they had the best excuse in the world to close our school. We couldn't exist that close to that much gas. But the parents advocated for the school, and instead of closing it, they spent something like $1.4 million to move us to a new site where we exist now.
Parents also led the city to shut down a hazardous adjacent housing complex. Very busy there. David mentioned dental care. So, Terry, a need as basic as that, you never think of a school being connected to. How does something like that happen?
Well, more and more, as some of the basic safety net programs are taken away or reduced out in the community, it becomes crucial for programs to join with partnerships. And the University of Pacific School of Dentistry has led the way with that. And they provide specialty fully trained dental hygienists at the school who work with both prevention and intervention with the students, along with an off-site dentist. It's called the Virtual Dental Home Project. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the state legislature is currently looking at taking this on statewide, expanding the program, and so that Medi-Cal would provide services. Places like New Zealand have dentistry in the schools, and they have a much lower rate of dental problems than we have in the United States because it's happening at the school.
So it's a K to 6 elementary?
No, actually, we moved right next door to another elementary school, so that year, we moved into winter. We left for winter break in one school and opened after winter break in another one. So two weeks later, that year, I sat down with my colleague at Noralto Elementary, and we strategized along with help from the district office and decided that we would be a 3 through 6, and Noralto would be pre-K through 2nd. So we work in conjunction with each other.
Able to focus on those students for their success.
And there are about almost 1,200 students, about 1,160 students total between the two sites. Most of them are shared families so that they have children in both schools. So many of the services go beyond just Johnson School. For example, the specially trained marriage family therapists, trainees, and interns are providing therapy at both sites as well as at a couple of places in the community for children, family, and other community members.
You're touching the entire life spectrum, aren't you? David, Terry, thank you so much. Congratulations to the school and the whole community supporting it.
Well, thank you. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
Harmon Johnson Elementary in the Twin Rivers School District. The award will come on June 6th. There's more information about community schools at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.